Last Sunday, what we did is we started talking about what is the gospel? How should I communicate it? And you as a church, we as a church have had three different ways that the gospel has been communicated to us. We've had the gospel seed, where we've walked down about sin and really the judgment we deserve and really the effective sacrifice. But then we also looked through a Sunday morning message where we looked at God, man, Christ response. And then even last week, we just talked real briefly about who is Jesus, what did he do, why did he do it, how do we know, what should be our response. All these different ways of talking about the gospel so that we can talk to people about the gospel no matter where they're at. So if I get somebody that comes up to me and they're saying, you know, I believe in grace through merit, what I'm able to do is, and as I start to talk to them, I realize they do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They do believe that the Bible is God's Word. So what it does is it allows me to open up the Scripture and point out to them verses that talk about grace through faith alone. But what if I talk to somebody that's, as I'm talking to them, they're like, well, I just don't believe that the Bible is God's Word. Well, then I know I need to back up in my gospel presentation. And really the takeaway from that is that we just need to be immersed in the gospel. And rather than be intimidated, rather than say, I need to have a PhD in apologetics before I can go share my faith. No, take whatever you know of the gospel right now. Go share your faith. And when somebody brings up something you don't know about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that right there is how God is showing you what you need to know about the gospel. That's where you need to study. So for me, I was telling you how I got schooled by somebody that did not believe in the Trinity. Do you all remember that? And they're just like, and they started throwing out these questions, and I'm trying to answer, and I'm not really getting it. But you know what God's will was for me? To go back and study the Trinity. It could be that you say that Jesus is the Son of God, but you're not quite sure how to explain that, and you're giving the gospel to somebody, and they kind of start asking hard questions, and you go away going, oh man, I don't know how to explain that. Well, that's God's will. You begin to study that area of the gospel. Do you know what? If we'll just do that, don't you think after about 5 years of this that we're going to be pretty awesome at sharing the gospel? But don't worry, there's going to be somebody that's going to throw you something, a curveball that you're not ready for, and you have to retool, and God's going to use that. Something we weren't able to go through last week was, I'm not going to do this, you'll see it in the handout though, but really to illustrate that, what we said is, if I know the gospel very well, then I will be able to communicate it no matter what, let me get to this next right here, no matter what different manner I communicate it. In fact, all throughout from the Matthew all the way through the epistles, you had different ways to communicate who is Jesus and what has he done and why did he do it and how are we to respond. You had people give a theological presentation. This was Peter. Peter at the day of Pentecost, he starts talking really from the Old Testament about Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is now given. And it was a theological presentation, a historical presentation, which is really just given really the from creation to Christ, or really a thematic or philosophical. Philosophical was Paul on Mars Hill. And you're like, you see all those gods? Well, you missed one. And let me tell you, he's the one that created everything. Illustrative. Who likes stories? Who likes a story? What? How many of you have thought this week about Pastor Lucas's story about the rabbi? Would you raise your hand? Me too. In fact, I've been trying to think, how can I steal that and use it in one of my messages? You know, I was at the base. No, it doesn't work. But you know what? That was a story that really connected the dots. Did that story save us? Yes or no? Will that story save somebody? Yes or no? But did that story help you understand the gospel better? And so really just communicating a story, an illustration, but still in the whole thing, you got to communicate who is Jesus, what did Jesus do, how do we know that to be true, what's to be our response, or God, man, Christ response. You know what I'm saying? We still have to get the gospel, that the essential elements, no matter how we communicate it, but in the Scripture, we see all these different ways, conversational. My mom... This was my mom, Twin Falls, Idaho. She'd just talk about the gospel. She had this like 30-second testimony. She'd say, this is what my life was like before I met Christ, and this is how I met Christ, and have you ever met Christ? She would never think of herself as a really awesome gospel witness, but you know what? She was just taking the stuff she had, and she'd share it. Then personally, testimony, just kind of This is how God's changed my life. We just videoed. That's what the stories of grace are, aren't they? They're just testimonies. And then confrontational. It's just, sometimes in our politically correct world, we forget that sometimes we have to confront. Did you know that? I gave the gospel to my neighbors when I came back from college, just real burden about them. And as I came back, slammed doors. One of my neighbors, he slammed the door in my face, and very intense, very religious, in Twin Falls. And, I was like 2 years ago, he called me and he's 100 years old. He goes, I'm 100 years old. I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. I said, now, do you know who I am? I just want to make sure, you know? He goes, yeah, your wife plays the violin. I said, okay, yeah, you know who I am. All right. And, and as I was listening to him, he said, I'm gonna die. Well, he believed that salvation comes through works. Okay, he's 100 years old. I'm 2,000 miles away. Do I need to keep building a bridge of a relationship? Yeah, but at that moment, you know what I need to do? Murray, be saved. I said, Murray, tonight, when you're laying on your bed, realize salvation is through Christ alone. Nothing of your works covers up your sin. I quoted verses to him. I pled with him. Murray, be saved. Be saved. You know what? In no matter what the method is of your communication, whether it's a story or theological or philosophical or confrontational, that's why we've got to understand the gospel. So no matter who I talk to, no matter where they're at, I'm able to share the essence of what the gospel is. Or what if I just have a second? What if I've only got 5 minutes with this person, long-term relationship, and they're asking about the deity of Christ? Well, that's where God wants me with that person right now. Isn't God big enough to put it all together? Okay, can I just tell you that the soccer club kids that came over, I didn't stand up and I didn't say, okay, I want you all to know right now. I want you to know right now. I didn't do that because that wasn't the time for us. You know, the time is for us to build some relationships with these people. But you know what? They're going to run into some random person who's going to be confrontational. We're just another link in the chain of God's redemption. God's doing a work. And take whatever piece you are and do it with all your might. So let's just wrap this all together very, very fast. And what we're going to do is just communicate what is a plan for us. First of all, realize the church is the best base of operations. Do you know, we could spend all the energies that we've spent on doing church stuff, and we could just go do evangelism, and there might be a few more professions of faith. But let me tell you, the church is where it's at. We're going to hear a great message this morning on Christ building his church, but you know, the church is going to equip us. Don't you feel, do you feel like even in the plenty of 20s that you just get a little bit more of how to live the Christian life? The church is equipping you. But then the local church will encourage you. Anyone here ever discouraged in evangelism? I am. I think of folks, there's been folks that we've poured hundreds of hours of evangelism into, and you're like, whoa. But isn't it great to see stories of grace right here? So the local church will encourage you, but then the local church is the best place to see life change. You know what? Week in, week out, preaching of God's word will change your life. I've got a question. We're doing the chartering service. How many of you feel, Jotham, let me just ask Jotham. Jotham, do you feel like you're different spiritually than you were a year ago? Do you feel like God's used the sermons in your life? Jotham told me that like 3 weeks ago. He says, you know, I just feel like I'm so different because God's word. Do you know what's going to change our life is the local church. That's why we want to plant a church in this city, because we want the church is what safeguards truth. The church is what dispenses truth. This is God's plan for this age. And so this is really the context of what we're talking about, is really in the context of and through a local church. So first of all, as we're looking at how I can share my faith with others, find your niche. Find your spiritual gift and then use it. Do you know that every single one of us are different? That should cause you to smile. How many of you are glad you're not like me? Well, I'm glad I'm not like you, but we're all different. And you know what? You know how it shows up? Let's just say that this Thanksgiving, we said, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna give some Thanksgiving baskets out to some folks that really need it. We just want to really model and serve and love people with the gospel. Anyone interested, just join us real quick after the service. And what would happen is there'd be about 15, 20 people here, and then all of a sudden the gifts would surface. So like the administrator would be like, now, this is like in 6 weeks. I can't believe we're doing this in 6 weeks. You know, I hope somebody's writing something down, and then we get this thing going 6 months before, because 6 weeks is not enough time. And the little servant is starting to feel some pressure and tension between leaders. And they're like, oh, I just want to pack some baskets. And then the financial dude is like, ooh, so, okay, I don't know if that's going to be like 50 bucks and 50 bucks times 15. Oh, my word, I don't think we have that. Oh, I can raise like half of that and I'll get the rest. And then you got the evangelist who's like, now, we are not going to just give Thanksgiving baskets. There better be a Bible in there. And Miss Mercy's like, well, I just want to put some doilies. And what happens? We start having an awesome outreach, don't we? Do you know that you are needed? You know what? I think that sometimes, there's people think, well, I'm not Superman. I don't have a lot to offer this church. I mean, do you see John up here? He's awesome. I'm not like John, and I can't preach like Lucas. So I'll just sit here. No, you are needed. You are a part of this church. You bring things that nobody else brings. I think of Pops walking his gospel dog. I don't do that because my dog isn't as good looking as his dog. But you know, every single one of us have different pieces to add to the pie. And we all need to just participate. We just need to be saying, this is what I can do. Find your niche. Where do you fit in this church? If you don't think you fit, then you know what you need to do? Right when this service is over, you need to come up to me or Lucas or John and John and say, where do I fit? Because you are a part of the church. And you know what? This is God's way of reaching this area of Salt Lake. We all have a piece of this puzzle. But then find your niche. But then number two, broadcast seed abundantly. Remember going back to the geographical community? You know what we're doing? We're just saying as much gospel as we can get out. It's not an either or. That's why we welcome those plant campers in the summer. Because you know what they did? They helped us get a lot of seed out. That's what they did. That's why we're just like, whenever we have an outreach, we're just saying, hey, God's the only one that can give new life. So I'm not going to make this too complex. I'm just going to throw out the word as much as I can, wherever I can throw it. But you know what? It's just, we're responsible to obey and proclaim. God's going to do the work. But we can't, don't get lost. Let's not get lost in this battle of either or, relationship versus confrontation. Let's just be people who are like, wherever I can get the gospel, I'm going to get it out. I'm going to put it in tracts. I'm going to put it wherever I can go. Just get the seed out from our local church setting. But then number three, look for good ground. Don't be put off persecution. Expect it. But you know what? As people are against the gospel, there are people that are for the gospel. Do you know that? Do you know that God is calling for himself a people out of Salt Lake? God is at work. So as we're just throwing out the seed, now we're just looking for good soil. Okay, why is it? Why is it of all those eight families that came over to my house, why is it that one is already talking about May and us coming over? Because that's good soil. That soil that the gospel can start going in. There's others, they don't want anything to do with it. No way. We don't want anything to do with anything that goes with that trailer that you travel in and that church you got at the U. And so, no way. But there's others that there is good soil. And then seek to build redemptive relationships. Participate in divine diversions. Discover ways to get people into your geographic community. Look for organic and natural ways. Let me just throw out some application on this. You know, the extreme ends of a diversion is idolatry or isolation. But you know what? Rather than have a fake war about this, why don't you just always involve somebody who needs the gospel in your diversion? You like biking? Why don't you try to go biking with somebody that needs the gospel? You like playing indoor soccer? Why don't you try to involve playing indoor soccer with somebody who needs the gospel? You like playing volleyball? Get somebody on your team that's unsaved. You like barbecuing? Well, bring some Christians and some unsaved. Just always involve the lost. Sometimes not that comfy, though, is it? Because then I have to be on my best behavior. But you know, don't you think God uses even when we obey to help us be more like Christ? So build these redemptive relationships. Let people in your life. Spend time with people, but then as we're seeking to build redemptive relationships, spend time with them. Do you know that time is money? You ever heard that phrase? Anyone here busy? For the last 2 weeks, we've been like, it's like every hour is scheduled. It is hard to fit time. But time is where people get to see your life. Time is where it communicates love and trust. Can I tell you something? Time is where people get to see the gospel lived out in you. In a highly religious culture, you know what? Everyone knows religion, but only the people of God really know salvation and life change. Do you know that the most effective apologetic that you have is your life? Do you know that it's good when your unsaved neighbor sees you go through a trial of health or family or finances, and they see reality, that you don't spin out of control, that you really do have an anchor? But they got to be in your life. In this culture, we can't just show up and expect there to be a relationship with a neighbor if the only time they hear us talk is when we're inviting them to open house. There must be relationship where they see your life and they see your reaction and they see what's going on. But then number five, discern the state of their spiritual understanding. I've got to just cruise, but take time to understand what's going on in this person's life. I think sometimes Christians can be very offensive because they've never taken the time to really understand what's going on in that person's life. Ask questions. What do they believe? What do they not believe? Are they theistic, atheistic, monotheist, pluralistic, traditional, postmodern, biblically literate, or illiterate, grace and faith, or versus merit through works? Actually take the time to say what drives them, what drives their understanding, because then now you can sow the seeds of the gospel specifically and individually. So what we're doing, remember, let's just kind of get a mental picture. We're just saying as many folks as I can, I want the gospel seed to go out. Gospel seed, gospel seed, gospel seed. Okay, where's good soil? I'm going to build a redemptive relationship. I'm going to get to know this person. Seek first to understand before you're understood. See, as you understand them, you're able then to sow seeds specifically. Now all of a sudden there's a trial. Now they lose a baby, and you bring over a book, that MacArthur book, Safely in the Arms of Jesus, and say, hey, I just want to share this with you. Or maybe there's a whole trial in their life and they're full of worry and anxiety, and you bring a specific article about that. Or you just, as your questions and answers, and you're just, You're talking to them, like, and so they believe in grace through merit, and so you figure out a really creative question that's not zingy, but can actually produce a conversation. And so you're really trying to get to know them so you can ask specific questions. But then number seven, look for open doors, times of tension, transition, tenderness. You know, as you've got a relationship with somebody, God's going to give an open door, isn't he? Eventually, life is going to kick into some form of a tension, transition, tenderness. Let me throw some out. Death, marriage, empty nesters, child getting in trouble, financial pressure. And there you are as a friend, ready to help. There you are as a friend, ready to share truth. But then, as you're looking for open doors, invite to Christ. Do not hesitate. If you've been in this person's life, if you understand this person, I read one of the best studies for me was to go from Matthew through the epistles, everything about the gospel. I was overwhelmed by how many straight up invitations there were. I was just overwhelmed with Paul exhorting, with Peter inviting, with Jesus saying things like, I'm the bread of life, I'm the water of life. Preach in a temple, Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, Peter and Cornelius, Paul's missionary journeys. I mean, these guys were just intense. They were living on purpose to get the gospel in people's lives. Don't get soft with the gospel. This is the truth. This is the truth that people must hear, but then last of all, be prayerful, patient, and persistent. Do you know this church has been here a year? And we're thankful for everything God's done. But you know what? There's some crops you put in and they just come up. But there's other crops that take a couple years, like an orchard. And the tree grows and the first fruit, you're thankful for it. But it's not until about 5 years all of a sudden you start seeing fruit. Do you know that we're just now starting to have conversations where other people have already told them about gospel grace, and now you're telling them about gospel grace for the second time? Do you know that we're just a year into this? Do you know that God is doing a work, but God is going to do a work? And this kind does not come but by prayer and fasting. This is a life work. This is, you're laying down your life for something that from man's perspective looks impossible, but with God, what? And so he said, prayerful. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. What if you really had five people you prayed for every day? And what if you really prayed so real and so from the heart that you'd actually have tears, that you'd just be patient. You put up with their mocking. You put up with their hardness. You wouldn't get frustrated by the slowness, but you'd be prayerful, patient, and persistent. I'm so thankful for the example of Paul. You know what? Our trials in the United States of America are not that hard. Comparatively to the physical aspect of the gospel. We're not getting chased. We're not getting beat. We're not getting shipwrecked. We've got other trials. Don't worry. We all got trials, but they're different trials, aren't they? And you know, I think reading through there, you see a man that's just like, you know, I'm going to give my life for the furtherance of the gospel. And specifically in our context, it's the furtherance of the gospel in this city. And so may God give us grace to just think, you know what, I'm going to throw the seed out. I'm going to look for friends. I'm going to be their friend. I'm going to love their friend. And as God gives open doors, I'm going to invite them to Christ because I know the gospel. I'm going to cherish the gospel. I'm going to get to know the gospel. And as I talk to them and they stump me with a question, it's okay. I'm going to study it because I don't have to be intimidated by any question because thy word is truth. And God's word is more enough. And all God's people say,